Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Accountability Partner Podcast. You know, my name is Tier. And for those of you who don't know, I will be serving as your accountability partner as you embark on this journey towards purpose. Now, I'm extremely excited today because I have one of my bestest, closest friends, my support system, Lisa K. Satchel, on here to just talk about obedience. And it's crazy because that's what's something that has been on my heart lately, especially big on this past week. And I know we're supposed to talk about continue our talk on launching a podcast, but I really felt like God was causing me to shift because something has to break in terms of us really walking in obedience. So my good sis is here. Hi, my love.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Honey, how are you feeling?
I am good. I love this topic of obedience because it's so important. And I just had to do a huge act of obedience. So I'm excited to talk about it and everything that goes with it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear you're literally my first interviewee.
Wow. I'm honored. I am blessed.
So honored.
Real quick, I just want to say you guys could not have a better host for the accountability partner because Tierra is the ultimate accountability partner. So I'm excited.
I don't think they're ready for like a
word. They're not.
I've been very kind and very like gracious within this podcast and
they're not ready.
They're not ready for this. But you know, before we get started, Lisa, just tell the people and them a little bit about you and how great you are and just what do you do?
Okay, so my name is Lisa K. Satchel, as Tierra told y'all. I am a content creator and now a published author, which is crazy to say. Yeah.
Wait, what book did you write?
So my book is called Living Single, and it's just basically 30 devotionals for women who love God and want a husband. And it's crazy because I did write it for women, but like my dad read it, obviously. And he was like, I learned a lot about it as a married man. Like, you know what I mean?
I love that.
So yeah, pretty much it's for anybody, but it is pink and I will call you sis. So do that what you will. Got the book. But yeah, so yeah, I think my main goal in life is just to like, right now, show everybody that you can be a millennial and a Christian and still have fun and live your life. Like, exactly. I think people think the two are mutually exclusive, but they're not. So yeah, that's what I do with my content. Yeah, that's me.
So Lisa, I guess we can, again, just like get started into this conversation. Like, you just launched a book, right? And I'm sure that was like a huge step of faith, a huge act of faith for you to move in. So can you just kind of talk about that process of you know, how it started versus how it's going now and like what that obedience journey looked like?
Yeah, so it started, actually, I will say, I've always been a writer, but I used to write scripts specifically. And I was writing scripts and stuff. I would bang out a script in like a week for like a pilot. Like, I was no joke about it. And then at a certain point, I just felt like it wasn't there anymore. And I was like, God, what is going on? And I had started writing devotionals for The Same Room, which is like an online talk show.
Yep.
And for our online community, I have started doing devotionals like every week.
I just love how you just like, you know, slight flex threw that in there. Yeah, I write devotionals for The Same Room that has a million followers and blah, blah, blah. But okay, I'm gonna let you keep going.
So I started writing devotionals for them. And I was like, I guess I'll just use this gift to write devotionals and stuff. And then I had seen that like people can do ministry full time. And I never really considered that for myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, but what does that even look like? Like, how does one, I mean, to be transparent, make money doing just ministry? And so God was like, well, you could write a book. And I said, a book? Ooh, like, this too soon. Like, I'm only 25. Like, what do you mean write a book? So then basically all of the talent I had for writing and all my passion I had for writing, God redirected me to start writing devotionals. And I messed around and told Tierra about it. And Tierra was like, when do you want to have the book out by? And I was like, I mean, if you to do it in February, because, you know, Valentine's Day is that. She said, great, February 13th. I said, okay. So that was my date to announce. It was February 13th, as directed by Tierra and God.
And where are we now?
And here we are. Literally, I announced the book on February 13th, and the book is out. So, but yeah, just, I think the obedience for me really came in with, like, the consistency. Ooh. Because it's easy to be obedient with your first act of like, okay, I'll write devotionals. But I struggled with consistency because in October I got the idea to write it. And then December was when I was like, okay, this book gonna come out in February. I better be about it. So I had to figure out how I could be consistent in the direction that God gave me to write this book.
First of all, you touched on something so key, consistency. And I think that's something that myself, you, we all really struggle with. So how did you kind of overcome that? And I'll, before you answer that, I'll just talk about myself. Like that has been one of my greatest struggles. It's like, I'll be motivated and like on fire to do whatever it is God's calling me to do 1 week. And then the next week I'm like, okay, I don't have that motivation. I don't have that feeling. So like, I'll remain stagnant. And so, yeah, how have you overcome your lack of consistency or your need to be more consistent in what it is that you're doing?
So with the book specifically, I was like, how can I tie this into everything I want to do and what I'm already doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my friends as accountability partners and I have, but like, it was just like, I wanted to make more TikToks and reels and stuff. And I was like, how can I incorporate that and finish writing this book? So then I had 15 written already. And I was like, all right, I need 15 more. I'll just put them on the internet. Like, I'll just be like, here's a takeaway from what I wrote today. And because I was trying to post reels and TikToks every day. Mm-hmm. So I use the internet as an accountability partner and two birds, one stone. I make my content and I'm writing my book at the same time.
Right.
I'm not going to lie though. I did fall off on making the reels and TikToks when the book was done because then I had to publish a book, like, you know what I mean? So the focus shifted,
right?
But yeah,
it's okay. It's okay for you to have to pivot and your focus shift, all that.
And you know what, let's talk about that, because obedience comes with sometimes you got to shift where your focus is. Because if I wasn't obedient to God saying write this book, I'd still be out here trying to write scripts right now and the book wouldn't be out.
Listen.
So to be open and malleable and adaptable is important with obedience too.
That's, girl, first of all, just even moving back a few notches, like consistency, right? One of the things that has helped me in terms of like being consistent and purpose, and even when I don't feel motivated, was really understanding what my why is. Mm. And for me, my why is making sure people, I understand who they are. My why is making sure people know what it is that God has placed on the inside of them. My why is like, I want my nieces and my nephews and, you know, my future kids to look at me and be proud of something. There's just so many different things that add to it. So even in those moments where I don't feel like being consistent, I have to reflect on those things. I'm like, okay, there's a greater purpose for me in this act of obedience. There's an actual need for me to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of touch on how consistency and how obedience really, while it's for you, it's really not for you. It's really for others. So can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, I think a good example for this is like with the book. It's like, I was writing this book because God told me to, but as I finished writing it, I was like, wow, I really hope somebody gets something out of this. And then people have said, even just from like the videos I posted with little tidbits about it, or like, people are already telling me that they're getting a lot out of it. And I'm just like, God, this literally wasn't even about me.
Right.
Like, you have people who you want to show how to love themselves. Mm-hmm. You want to show them what a godly relationship will look like. And honestly, sometimes I have to read the book because I be out here like, where my man at?
Where and is like, they? Where is husband? Still asking questions.
Right. And then there are things in there that I am still learning. So I know that I didn't write that book just for me to write a book and say, oh, I write a book. Like, you know what I mean? It was really like, God needs people and me to learn these lessons so that we can be, I mean, just all that he's called us to be.
You want to know what's crazy is, and I immediately thought of, as you were talking, I was saying how obedience is really not about you. I immediately thought of the scripture of Jonah, or the story of Jonah and the great fish, right? And here's Tears Cliff Notes version. God told Jonah, who is a character in the Bible, to go to Nineveh and tell the people that he was going to announce judgment against the city because of their wickedness. Jonah was like, hell nah, cuz I'm not doing this. And he ended up getting on a boat and going in the opposite direction of Nineveh. So then God was like, oh, so you want to act crazy? Cool. We just, we, we about to see, you know, how far this craziness gets you. Fast forward, God causes a storm to occur while Jonah is in the ship, and everyone on the boat, the driver, I don't know how you say it, but like everyone on the boat is in a panic. So everyone's praying to, you know, their specific gods. And because Jonah knew that all of this chaos, this storm had happened because of his disobedience, he told the people to throw him overboard and the storm will stop, because he knew that this is God saying, you know what, I'm going to cause so much chaos and disruption in your life until you do what it is that you're supposed to do. And so they throw him overboard. And because of God's loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, he's amazing. Instead of allowing Jonah to just die or drown or whatever may have you, he allows this great fish, some people reference it as a whale, to come and swallow Jonah, swallow him up. And he's in the belly of this great fish for 3 days. So this is what I, you know, my favorite part of the story. So while he's in the belly, he ends up praying to God and asks for forgiveness and really thanks him for showing him mercy. And as a result, God gives Jonah another chance. And after this, after God gives him another chance, Jonah then moves forward with going to Nineveh and really telling the people that God's judgment is coming. And after, you know, that whole altercation or interaction happened, the people ended up turning from their ways and Jonah really spared their lives. So God ended up not causing judgment to happen to them. And so if Jonah would have never done that, the people would have died. The people would have been destroyed. And then I'm just thinking about, you know, how many people are really like sitting here waiting for it or suffering, waiting for you to really walk in purpose, waiting for you to really follow through with that obedience. And so the question that I'll pose to you, or I really just pose to the audience rather, is like, do we ever think about how many chances God has given us and, you know, we still choose to disobey? Like, not even like he's given us a chance. And, you know, after that one chance, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. But nah, he's given us chance after chance and still we want to act crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, first of all, this podcast alone, God told me to do this podcast and it's crazy that this is here. God told me to do actually Unwind Wednesday in 2018.
Hmm.
I didn't do Unwind Wednesday until 2020. And I try to do so many other things. And you know, like when you're when you feel like you're walking in obedience and you're like, well, this thing that I'm doing, even though it's not that, like I'm still in God's will, or I'm still doing works for God. And God's like, well, girl, I didn't tell you to do that yet, but you still want to act crazy. And so a lot of the things that I started failed. And it wasn't until I was like, you know what, let me just go ahead and really start honing in on the things that God told me to do, i.e. the Unwind Wednesday podcast, which really led to this podcast. And I just started seeing so many different things similar to what you were saying. People were reaching out like, you know, this is very helpful. I needed this, like, Tier, you don't understand like what this has done for my life. So girl, obedience.
Yeah. If I could piggyback on what you said,
yeah,
I love what you said about like, basically like there are times where you're being obedient, but you want to be like extra obedient. Like, oh, God said, do this. No. I'm going to go the extra mile. And God's like, oh, wait, hold up. I didn't tell you to do all that. Mm-hmm. So then like for me right now, like I'm in a season where like I have moved across the country. The book is out and I like want to keep going, you know? God was like, your March is your month to rest. I said, heard you, but I also got to do all this other stuff. Mm. Like, no rest. So when I tell you, I've been home 2 weeks for those 2 weeks, my back was hurting. It got so extreme that I had to go like urgent care. I couldn't.
Hey, so
I know.
Sorry.
It was, no, it's so, but like, it was because I was being disobedient. Mm. Like I was trying to do so much. I wasn't sleeping enough. I was trying to move a bunch. Like I was like doing too much. You know what I mean? And so rest was my thing to be obedient to. And it didn't seem like that lined up with what I was trying to do. So I was like, no, God, it's fine. Like, I'll go to sleep earlier, but I will also plan all this stuff. No, like rest, be with your family. You know what I mean?
What's crazy about that story, and as well as the story of Jonah and the whale or the great fish, is we oftentimes think of the chaos that's happening in our lives as something that's not self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And we blame the world, we blame society, we blame God, and we're like, hey, yo, like, why don't I have, you know, money? Why am I not experiencing, you know, financial success? And God's simply like, because you ain't write the book yet that I told mm-hmm. you to write 3 years ago, or you ain't start this podcast, or you ain't start the business. And it's just like, what is God going to have to do to really get you to realize, like, there's so many blessings and promises waiting for you on the other side of obedience. And so kind of to that point, Lisa, if you can talk about like the fruits that you've experienced from your obedience, whether it's regarding writing the book or writing, you know, your pilots, like, how have you experienced God's favor as a result of your obedience?
I will say 3-4 years ago, God called me to move to Los Angeles. And I think that is the biggest example mm-hmm. of obedience, the fruit that I could give, because through being in Los Angeles, like, I found some of my closest friends. Like, fun fact, me and Tierra went to college at the same time, the same college.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we didn't meet until we moved to Los Angeles. Very like, true. And this is like an important friendship for me. Mm-hmm. And like, just so many things that, like, if I hadn't moved to LA, I would not experience. And I know that being in LA was a important part of becoming who I am. And then even on top of that, like, God has recently called me to go to divinity school. And I was like, God, first of all, like, who, like, you know, oh, what I mean?
Are you going to marry me and my husband?
I would love to. That's what I'm trying to do. Listen, once I get this degree, I'm going to officially like, who's getting married? How can I help? Anyways, but for real, like, going to divinity school, I've just learned so much that has helped me. And then it makes me more effective small group leader. It makes me better at, when I was writing this book, I knew more things to share and how to share them in a good way. Yep. I've been writing 12 page papers. I can write this devotional. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so just little things like that. I've just seen myself become a better leader and then receive the fruit of being a better leader. That's and so people being so happy. Like, and like, I don't know, just witnessing people grow has been great. So to see the fruit and also just like, I feel great. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel so happy and blessed that like, I am truly following God. I think that is the biggest thing that comes from it, is just a sense of like, man, if this thing don't work out the way I thought, it's going to work out the way God thought. So that'll be the best thing that happens, because you just know his plans are so much greater than yours. So that's the biggest fruit I see, is that his plans are better than anything I could imagine.
Listen, you talked about what I like to call purpose mates and purpose partners. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there are oftentimes you won't meet your purpose partner or your purpose mate until you walk in that obedience. So for instance, Ashley and myself. Mm-hmm. Ashley, for those who don't know, is my current roommate, and we met at the Woman Evolve conference. And I don't want to say that I had thoughts of not necessarily going, but I really do believe that God placed it on my heart to go. And I was like, okay, bet, like, I'll go to the conference. So my mom and I went to the Woman Evolve conference. I want to say it was 2019. We went to the Woman Evolve conference in 2019. And what's crazy about God is he literally just orchestrates everything so that it happens, like, and it blows your mind, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to this hotel. It's one of those hotels that's not even on the Woman Evolve hotel suggestion list. And who do I meet there? I meet Ashley Easton. And this is a complete sidebar, but she would say that I was absolutely rude to her when we met, but I was not. We ended up meeting on an elevator, and I found out she was from Connecticut, and literally we just hit it off from there. Fast forward, this woman, we've been roommates for over a year. We joined WEAN, which is the Women Entertainment and Empowerment Network. We've done that together. We've done purpose work together. And so, like, if I wouldn't have been obedient and invested in myself, invested some money into the Women Evolve conference, I would have never met Ashley. Who knows if I would, like, still be in LA. Like, mm-hmm. so many things have happened. And I know that there are people who are like, God, I need a partner in my business. I need someone to help me write a book. And God's like, well, I need you to pay for this person's meal. And when you pay for this person's meal at Starbucks, they're going to start talking to you about one of their businesses and services that they do, which will then further help you in what it is that you need to do, or what it is that God has called you to do. So purpose mates for sure has been like one of my fruits. And then I think too, you touched on it as well, where it's just like an overall sense of like peace and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I know oftentimes people think that obeying God is going to cause like stress and strife, and it's going to be things that he doesn't, or it's going to be things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you really don't know what you don't know. And I'd rather obey someone who knows the end and the beginning. And the peace that I feel doing this podcast, talking to you about this, like, I feel so at peace. I feel so fulfilled. The fact that people are really getting something out of it really like makes me want to continue this. It stirs something inside, something more inside of me. And so I think that's one of the greatest fruits as well. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Lisa, what would you tell someone struggling with disobedience?
I would say,
or obedience rather.
I would say, well, I got a tattooed on my body, breathe. I got a breathe tattoo the other day, because sometimes I'd be out here like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, and it's like, even, and it's like, when you can't remember what, when you don't feel like you know what to do, just think about the last thing God told you to do. And that's definitely one of those, it's like everybody says that, but like, it's really real.
Yeah.
And I think if you're struggling to be obedient, I think you should think about the cost. Because the cost of disobedience is so much greater than the cost of your comfort. And the cost of like your, really your comfort. That's the only reason I think people don't be disobedient, is because they're like, that sounds uncomfortable. That sounds like too much. I don't know how to do that. When I tell y'all, God created the internet, man. Like, God created Google in his wisdom. Hello? And some of Google's wisdom. And I think the biggest thing to your first step of obedience is trusting God. Just fully trusting God and lean not on your own understanding, as the Bible says.
That's my favorite verse.
I know it's your favorite.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, that's for me. And one of my favorites is Philippians 4:6-8, where it just talks about, like, when you're anxious, just pray. Think about everything that's going good.
Yep.
I say, think about all the positive things that could happen out of your obedience.
So good.
And when you make that list, you and God make that list, just when you start feeling uncomfortable, be like, okay, but all this great stuff could come out of it. Like, for me with the book, it was like, what's the best thing that could happen out of this? Somebody gets saved. Somebody realizes how great they are. Somebody starts to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all those great things that could come out of somebody reading this. And not to be that guy, if since we're talking about business here, I made a little pocket change, you feel me?
Shmoney.
Right? Money. Like, so that's been nice in the middle of this cross-country move. Your girl needed it.
And so, this, in the middle of this panorama, you got some coins.
Whole panorama, a whole panorama. We have made, like, you know what I mean? So that's, and even like if I didn't make any money of it, because I honestly priced the book rather cheap. And I priced, like, any version of the book you get is cheaper than like people I know who have published books themselves,
right?
You know, because I was like, it ain't really about the money. I just want to give God the glory at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, what is like the best thing that can happen? And then even what is the worst thing that happens if I put out a book? Nobody buys it, but I still have a book out. So what y'all gonna say about it? Like, you know what
and
I
then,
mean?
And then two, one, all that you've learned as a result of writing the book, girl, you can say that I wrote a book. You can say I was consistent enough to continue doing what it is that God has told me to do and write the book. And maybe even if no one bought it, that's what God was trying to birth inside of you. God was like, I need this girl to be consistent in this thing so that I can bring her or him to the next level, so he can really start walking in the thing that's going to bring him profit. It's going to bring him or her true fulfillment. One of the questions that you actually always ask is, what has God's track record been? Right? Like, when has God ever said, do something and you've done it, and it's been something that has not worked in your favor?
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, nothing has ever happened in life where God said, hey, yo, write this book or start this business or start working out, and the end result has been something that wasn't beneficial to you in any way. That's one. And then two, I often think about, would I rather sit in my comfort and be stagnant, or would I rather be uncomfortable and grow? Would I rather be uncomfortable and monetize? Would I rather be uncomfortable and really reach more people and really walk into a newer version of myself and uncover a newer version of myself that I wasn't even know or I didn't even know was there? And so things like that, I think, are key. Lisa, fix your thoughts on what is true. What does that mean to you?
To me, it means with all, not even with all due respect, because no respect is deserved. Forget the devil. Who is that?
Who that be? Right.
I thought a more colorful language, but y'all feel where I'm going. Like, the devil is such a liar. So like, any thoughts of inadequacy that you have with like being obedient, I'll tell you something I'm being disobedient about right now. I'm supposed to lose some weight this year. Let me tell you something about February and March. They were rough. January was great. January was fantastic. I went on a smoothie cleanse, lost 19 pounds.
You were skinny.
I lost the weight. I did that.
Honey.
February came. There was a book that needed to be published. I was moving across the country, so I made up a lot of excuses. Mm. Now I've been in physical pain, so I can't work out. Mm. Probably could eat better, but didn't. You know what I mean? And so now I'm looking to become obedient with that again, because I just know it's an area of my life where, like, maybe if I did eat better, my body would feel better. Mm. And maybe if this or that, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So but for me, it's like, fix your mind on what is true. I can do it. Cause that's my other thing. It's like, hey, what's the purpose? You know, like, but I know I can do it because check God's track record, check your track record as well. What have you done in the past that worked out or did in the past that did not work out? Mm. You gained the weight because you ate something.
That's so good.
You lost the weight because you ate better. Mm-hmm. So you know you can do it. And the truth is that you can do it. The lie is that I'd rather sit here and, you know, have cookies. I mean, that's true. But the lie is that it's going to be okay. You know what I mean? And that it's going to feed my soul. Mm-hmm. So it don't matter what it does to my body. That's not true. It does matter.
You can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that I had to kind of break through. One, you can do it. And two, when it comes to just like my overall struggle and journey with obedience, one of the main factors that played into my disobedience has been the opinions of others. Mm-hmm. And I think we focus so much on, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? Or what are they going to say? And to your point, like fixing your thoughts on what's true. So what if they say, you know, Tier, you look crazy, or Lisa, this book is trash. So what? The truth is, God told me to do it. And I know and I trust God's track record, which says that all things are going to work together for my good. Yeah. And the truth is, and let me actually pull this up, because, girl, I was doing some research and there's like a whole bunch of blessings for walking in obedience. I'm going to read this whole thing. And it's Deuteronomy 28. Which I want to say it's 1-14. And I'll just start from verse 1, which says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord will God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your offspring and your herds and your flocks will be blessed, i.e. your employees and your land. Mm-hmm. Your fruit baskets, your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but it literally just goes on and on about like the different fruits and blessings of obedience. And so you kind of alluded this to this earlier, but can you talk about like the actual tangible blessings of your obedience?
Yeah, with the book money, that's been nice to have some of that.
Love the coins.
Right. And then just like, I will say for me, recently one act of obedience was moving across the country. And that's when I was worried about like, if I don't live in LA, are people going to think I failed? I know I didn't fail. But like, what is it going to look like? Who cares? You know what I mean? And moving here, though I have had some physical pain, it has showed me the importance of being around family for me right now. Mm-hmm. Because I'm living with my sister. She full on took care of me.
Hey, sis.
I know, I love her. My parents were taking care of me. Like, it's just so much fruit has come out of it with just like, and also just a sense of peace. Yeah. Like knowing what's knowing who's really there for you, you know what I mean? Even when you may not feel it all the time. That's been something. I definitely feel like the whole like the enemy's coming against me thing.
Well, of course, if you know enemy, anytime you're walking in obedience, anytime you're about to go to another level, the enemy is gonna attack because he's like, nah, I can't let this happen. I can't let Lisa really unlock her fullest potential. You know, that's gonna happen, sis.
But the thing is, like, God will do this thing where, like, I don't think I have any opposition. That's how good he is.
God, don't you just love it?
I have, because I don't know the opposition. I know it's there. Sometimes I'm very aware. I'm like, oh, this is a joke. But even, like, in real life, like, you know, people have, like, people talk mess about them.
Yep.
I have this delusion in my head that nobody would ever talk about me ever. Because, like, God blocks all that out and makes all of it irrelevant. I'm sure somebody got something to say, but I don't care. Like,
but that's the thing, and it's crazy how God can literally shift your mindset and literally to your verse fix your thoughts on what is true. We know we serve a God who, despite what our enemies do or say, he's going to make sure that we're good. What did the scripture I just read say? It said that God will attack the enemies who attack you. So, girl,
before you even know it or see it, which is the biggest blessing, because I'm not trying to know.
Hello, girl. And I guess this is kind of like my last question before we go into, you know, a little bit more about your book. What would you say has been one of the greatest lessons you learned as a result of obedience?
That obedience doesn't mean things are going to go easy, but the fruit will always be worth the trouble. And I think endurance is important with obedience.
I mean, you know, you got to explain.
Okay, so endurance. Let me tell y'all, God gave me two, like I talk about February a lot, but God gave me two major commands: move across the country and put out a book at the same time. What a feat to do at the same time. You packing up your entire life and trying to make sure the book is formatted right, make sure the page numbers are right, make sure all this stuff that you never considered until this very moment are right.
It's so good.
And that was a lot for me. And I was like, God, is this what you told me to do? Why is it so daggone difficult sometimes? But then I just realized, like, for all the things God has called me to, this is small. Like, these two things are kind of small.
Slightly.
Like, literally. So he's building up my endurance for when he calls me to something bigger and calls me higher that, oh, I've done that already. Or, oh, if somebody near me is going through that, don't worry about it, sis. I can tell you exactly how to do it. Like, all that stuff. So I think endurance is just the most important thing that comes out of obedience. It's just endurance.
I love that. And I think, too, for me, my journey with walking in obedience has actually made me so close to God. And he's revealed so many things. Like, he's like, okay, like, you walked in obedience, I could trust you with, you know, this revelation. So let me just let you know, like, what your future is about to look like. Let me just blow your mind real quick and say, this is what's about to happen. This is how much money you're about to make. And so walking with God, not only have I felt, or being obedient, not only have been able to draw closer to God, but he's really been revealing so much more pertaining to purpose and my future. And I know a lot of people have those questions like, God, like, I want to know what my purpose is. And like you said, you need to start with the thing that God has told you to do a year ago or 3 years ago. What was that first thing that he told you to do? So, Lisa, you have been amazing. Obedience is critical. And before we get into the book, what would you say is one thing you would want to leave the people in them with?
Your obedience is worth what it will cost you. That'll be my quick one-liner.
Oh, yeah. If I could take apart this mic, I'd drop it. That was a mic drop. All right, Lisa, you said, say that one more game.
Okay, I got to remember it. Your obedience is worth what it will cost you.
Your obedience is worth what it will cost you. I think we got a title for the episode.
Yay, I love it.
I was going to call it The Blessings of Obedience, but you said your obedience is worth what it will cost you. I love that. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. You are amazing. Of course, we cannot let you go. I can't let you go without talking about this book.
Okay, so the book is called Living Single, 30 Devotionals for Women Who Love God and Want a Husband.
I love God and I want a husband. And for those who don't know, I'm about to blow up Lisa's spot. God told Lisa who her husband is, and I have an attitude because I'm still just trying to figure out who my man is and where he's at. But yeah, he told her that who her husband is, and now she's writing a whole book. So go ahead, proceed.
Well, basically, God told me, but I am still single like a Pringle, ain't I? So
your obedience is worth what it will cost you.
Listen, hey. So, but through being single and knowing who my husband is, God has given me these revelations about, like, okay, here's what I need you to do to prep for your husband, or here's what I need you to do in learning to love yourself before I can give you this man who I have for you. Mm-hmm. So that's basically where the book was born out of, was knowing who my husband is and all the lessons that I've learned along the way. Like I said, still single like a Pringle. My prayer is that, actually, I'm actually really enjoying my singleness right now.
I love that.
So, I mean, which is the point of the book, to enjoy their single season.
Yeah.
But I will go, and there are moments where I'm like, man, it'd be nice to have a man right now. And there are moments where I'm like, thank God I'm not in a relationship right now.
Same.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, honestly, I'm content until God sees it fit to bring old boy into my life in the capacity that he's supposed to be it in.
Right.
I'm chilling and I feel excited about this book because I really want this to form the beginning of a community. Ooh. You know what I mean? Because there's so, like, single women, like, get, I'm trying to be politically correct.
No, so say it.
Get, like, put down for wanting a husband.
That's so,
you know, weird. What I mean?
Yep.
Like, because you want a husband, you're not happy single. Those things are not, like, those are not mutually.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I want a husband and I'm enjoying being single. I'm building up to a relationship for a godly relationship, and I enjoy being single. Like, it's like things like that I really wanted to make clear in this book. Like, yes, it's enjoy your singleness, but are you nurturing the relationships you have now? You know what I mean? Like, your friendships, your family. Like, are you nurturing those relationships? Because when you bring in a man, that's a whole nother, mixture, you know what I mean? So stuff like that. Just self-love is one of the biggest things stressed in the book, because that is what I really came to with my journey and knowing who my husband was and being single. So yeah, that's some of the stuff about the book. If you want it, you can go to lisaksatchel.com/book.
Say that one more game for the people in the back.
Lisa, lisaksatchel.com/book, and you can find it.
Listen, because I love Lisa and because I love my listeners so much, I'm purchasing and giving away 2 books.
Yay!
From my good sis. So all you have to do is screenshot you listening to this episode, tag either at the account partner or Lisa K. Satchel, and let us know that you are listening, and we will do a giveaway at the end of this week. Thank you again so much, Lisa, for this. You know, I love having you. And for the listeners, you already know your action items for the week. Number one, get the book. And number two, focus on the thing that you have been putting off that God has told you to do. Think about that one thing the last thing that God told you to do, and really start walking into that. Spend some time in the scriptures that we reference. We reference Deuteronomy 28. Honestly, read the whole thing because it talks about the blessings of obedience, and it also talks about the curses of disobedience, which will really get you together real quick. Mm-hmm. Spend some time in Jonah 1 through, honestly, the whole thing is pretty short, right? 1 through 4, and then Philippians 4:6-8. I love y'all. Lisa loves y'all. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Peace.
Bye.